Hi everyone, my name is Michael Frazis. I'm Portfolio Manager at Frazis Capital Partners. Today I'm going to give a quick update and go through some interesting results that happened over the last week or so. Give some thoughts on some things we're looking at in technology and the life sciences. But first I'll give a quick rundown of what we do. Those of you familiar with us know we invest in technology and the life sciences. We've annualized 29% net fees since inception. And I think it's a pretty interesting portfolio of over 50 companies, all growing at well over 100%, actually over 150%. And they're kind of that like mid-cap range, US mid-cap range, where the median market cap is well over 10 billion as well. We invest in companies with two characteristics. That's true customer love and explosive growth. And the reason we do that is because that gives us the ability to find the highest returning stocks in the market early. And we have a pretty good track record now of doing that. So if you look at kind of on the right side of this chart, you know, our top 10 performers over time have all done five times or more. So you've been able to get in really early and often take these companies from obscurity to front page news. There's Afterpay, you know, which did over 30 times, Moderna, which has done over 20 times, companies like Carvana, Tesla, we owned before the fund was incepted, and that's done over 30 times since then. So you've really used this simple framework, which is quite different to, you know, the Ben Graham intelligent investor approach to investing, to identify a lot of the best performing companies within each of these sectors. Two examples that we give are Apple and Tesla. So Apple, you know, is an extremely competitive market amongst you know, BlackBerry, Nokia, Microsoft, a host of Asian competitors. 10 years ago, I was competing against all of these, but really there was only one with true customer love. That was Apple. And then over the next 10, 12 years now, it created over $2 trillion of equity value. Following the love got you the right answer to that when it mattered most, which was over 10 years ago. Similarly, Tesla was really controversial. Now it's less so. Now it's well and truly resolved as to whether this was a buy or a sell. But the most interesting thing about Tesla is actually what they've achieved on the fundamental basis. Like all these companies, the returns are spectacular, but they come from going from selling 20,000 cars to over 500,000. Like that is the leap. That is the explosive growth that we look for. And again, you know, the short sellers on Tesla would always say things like, I love the car. You know, sometimes they even owned it. But then they'd sell the stock. You know, our approach is the opposite. We want to find those things that people truly love because we know that time and again, if a small group of people love it, you know, it's probably hitting some psychological resonant frequency, which means a lot of people are going to like it. Zero is one of the case studies we use to kind of show that you can lose money and still create a lot of value. So you can generate losses and create a ton of value. Now, this sounds obvious now in 2021, but very few people were thinking about this back when it mattered, which was 5 years ago. So you can see between 2015 and 2016, Zero actually lost more money despite having true customer love, as demonstrated by the fanaticism and enthusiasm of accountants and users, and obviously the explosive growth. You can see that 74%, 67% year on year. And obviously that was one of the best performing stocks in the Australian market over the corresponding 5 years. So losing more money gave you the wrong signals, the opposite. Now we often get grilled by potential investors. You know, what about these companies? They're losing money. You know, how can this work if they're just losing money? You know, there's this impression that we're taking a ton of risk in the market. The reality is, you know, something like Xero has outperformed on a risk-adjusted basis, basically almost any other stock in the Australian market. And you'll actually have more risk by not investing in some of these companies if you're investing in equities. Another thing you get a lot of pushback on is valuation. This chart shows, if you look on the right, if you paid 60 times sales for Afterpay, you could have, in 2017, could have still generated a 30 times return. And I think that's kind of a really interesting example of how important it is to actually do the numbers and how important actually the fundamental growth of the business is. You know, the business is 30 times larger than it was, and the stock price has reacted correspondingly. Another point we try to make is, if you're not on the winning side of these things, you're often on the losers. This chart shows, you know, Carvana's done 11 times, Shopify's done 8 times. Just in the last 2 or 3 years, the US retail index has done 2 times. But obviously, if you expand the US retail index out of the last decade, it's been one of the worst worst places to be. You know, it was the new companies, it was Amazon, Shopify, Carvana. These are the companies that generate outstanding returns. And often, you know, the Macy's, the kind of those kinds of companies with deep value and heavily invested and lots of blog posts written about them and famous people like Scott Galloway saying they were going to be, you know, the right place to put your money, but it wasn't. You know, it was the fast growing tech companies that people loved that were adding users every single quarter. And that's kind of what we do, or that is what we do across the whole portfolio. So it's a bit of an update. We're now up 15% net calendar year to date. It's been pretty tough conditions for growth. So ARK is down 2% over that period. People often talk about ARK. You know, we're completely different to them in the way we do both technology and the life sciences. We focus on explosive growth and true customer love. They've ended up in some very strange companies that we don't think will perform particularly well. And in the life sciences, you know, they focus heavily on things like CRISPR, which were buzzwords. And then missed mRNA and all the kind of really proper hardcore biology as data science opportunities that came up over the last few years. So a very different approach. ARK will, of course, ARK will, you know, push the valuations of some of their companies up to 50 to 100 times sales as well, because they're just too big. Another point we'll make, like at the moment, our portfolio is kind of primed for performance. We're still off quite a bit from our peak in February. The average organic growth rate is over 150%, and the distance to 52-week high, which is like an average across all of our stocks, is over 50%. So usually the returns follow that. So if tech and the next time our selection of 50 companies growing 150% year on year reaches new highs, we expect the portfolio to be up over 50%. Another thing, we've talked a lot lately about how we're buying heavily in this Asian in the Asia Pacific region, which had a huge sell-off where indices dropped, you know, 55-60%. It was probably kind of GFC or coronavirus drawdowns, and certainly had that feel of price action about it. We kind of had small positions in it, and that did detract from that July number. We were also able to double, in some cases, triple our positions over the last couple of weeks. And we think that is actually the low. So if you look at this, the chart of KWEB, you can see, you know, in 2020, it basically went from high 40s to 100, 105. And then in the last kind of 6 months, dropped from 105 down to, you know, 45, huge drop. And it was around kind of that 47, 48 range, but we were adding to our Chinese positions over the last couple of weeks. And obviously we wrote that in our letters a couple of weeks ago, in my letter a couple of weeks ago, I've discussed on these updates. This one we did. So we actually bought Pinduoduo in the low 20s and it ripped all the way to above 200 to join the 10X club briefly, then dropped to 78. We picked up quite a few shares at 78 and then quite a few more at 95. So that those trades obviously very much in the money now. We think now in China, the bad news, the stocks are rallying on bad news. You know, they put in a huge capitulation low. The American professional investment community has largely decided it's uninvestable. I think anybody that thinks it's uninvestable has now sold. You know, that trade is over. That's what pushed it down so much, was that institutional mind flip in the US of we cannot invest in this country, in this country's equities. But once it happens, like all these sell-offs, once people make that decision, push the prices down, generally your forward returns from there can be exceptional. And in fact, if you look at KWEB, you can see that often the index itself has doubled or tripled in short order after those kinds of sell-offs. And Pinduoduo, we talked about last time, it came out with blowout profit results. A company that reported last night was Futu. This is one of our larger positions. It was kind of responsible for a lot of the pain we had in Asia Pac this financial year. So 30 June, it was around $170, $180, then legged it all the way down to about 90. So roughly halved. And obviously, in the last couple of weeks, we've been adding pretty heavily to this position. So they just reported last night, and there were two sides to the report. So revenues increased 129% year on year. Gross margin is at 82%. Basically, they have like a large group of social users that use the platform, kind of like Reddit, you know, forum articles, that kind of thing, and then a smaller number. Say 1 million or now 1 million paying users that use them for brokerage, use them for asset management, all that kind of thing. Now, for market leader, 1 million users in that region is actually very small. And the play for them is to slowly convert with time the 15 million users non-paying users to that 1 million of paying users. There's huge avenues for growth. Now, the reason there are two sides to the report is trade volumes are actually down 41% on the quarter. So people were trading much less, even though they had one, I think it was their best quarter ever for new user ads. So what is that? Where does that leave us? If you weigh up those two things, you know, I think the period, the first half of this year was exceptional in terms of the volume of trades, the speculative frenzy. There was a SPAC boom. A lot of these companies like Neo and Li, Chinese companies, were listing on the US, attracting huge speculative demand. I think I don't know if it was an average or one of the bands of users was trading 20 times. I think it was on a 20 times a year basis. So that's obviously not sustainable. But what will happen is value here will be driven by assets on platform, users on platform, revenue per user. And actually, if you think about like what actually drives that, the fundamental basis, it's adding users. And so the fact that they are still able to deliver exceptional numbers there, and there's just so much room to go from that 1 million. The 15 million social users could dramatically expand, and that 1 million has so much room to grow into that as well. And so the long-term picture is as strong as ever. So we were buyers last night. You can see here how strong the upgrades have been. So on the left, you can see that, you know, 2022 forecast went from 3 billion to, you know, 11 billion over a year. So it's very strong upgrades. The business is absolutely firing. And you can also see that it's back to where it was on an EV sales basis before the huge spike. So it's trading around 10 times, went all the way up to 40 times sales. And is now back to kind of 11, 12 times. And so on that perspective, you're now thinking, oh, well, you've got an explosively growing, fast-growing company. People clearly love and are spending more and more time on it, and more users are flocking to the platform. And the valuation has come down to the usual point, to where it's just kind of long-term averages. A combination of all of those makes it really exciting from here. Even though there's still all those question marks around China and all that, you want to be buying it at moments like this when all these things line up and there is that negative sentiment. And that's our approach, and that's how we, in practice, trade these stocks. So I thought I'd share, like, I'm in Sydney, we're all locked down. I think we're in week 10 or 11. Hair's grown a lot longer. I thought I'd share some kind of optimistic stuff. So there's some really interesting antibodies that have come out. So Regeneron has released an antibody. It's approved by the FDA in the last couple of weeks. It basically cuts the risk of symptomatic infection by about 80%. So if you think about the effect that could have, you know, coronavirus already with vaccines is a fraction of doing a fraction of the damage that an outbreak like this would have done last year. But on top of that, we're not just getting vaccines, we're also getting treatments that can be given after people are symptomatic. So the way they did this trial was, if somebody in your household returned a positive test, they then gave their antibody to household members. And it was about 1,500 people in the trial, roughly split 50-50 between placebo and Regeneron and the antibody. And you can see that there was a huge reduction in symptomatic infection. There was a huge reduction in the mean duration of symptoms if you sum them up over the two groups. And it really made a huge difference. It also looks like it cut by 90% the viral load, which will have a huge impact on transmission as well. So if you're watching on video, you can see on the left, you can see these kind of light blue, purple, pink. That's strange mix of colors, actually, antibodies connecting to the coronavirus. So this is, they're connecting to it, they're stopping, because the surface protein is so relevant to this virus, a good antibody that binds to it will actually stop it infecting cells, as well as prompting an immune system, immune response. Another one is interesting, and that is, there is another antibody called ADG20. So this hasn't been FDA approved. It has done its early trials. The phase 3 is about to start. I thought this was really interesting. The reason I'm sharing it, because I thought it was like some good science being done. Basically what they did is, you approach all these kinds of things. You get a bunch of antibodies, you kind of see which of them, you know, connect strongly to coronavirus, virus particles in solution, and then you can find out which ones, you can basically hook them out, you can see which ones bind to it, you can see which antibodies bind the best, then you can then develop the best of those candidates, you know, put those to in the clinic. That's kind of the traditional approach, but that is what the approach that all the different companies have done. This company has done something slightly different. They've done that, They've then got a selection of, I think it was 200 of the best antibodies, the bound best, and then they applied that to SARS-1, so SARS-CoV-1, COV-1, and then they found antibodies that bound to those, and they also then took those and assessed them relative to other viruses in the group. Now, the reason this is clever, or I think it's clever, is that it means that you're very likely to get an antibody that is not dependent on variants, on different variants. So it's not going to work less as the virus mutates, because it's already working consistently over much mutated viruses, say the difference between SARS-CoV-1 and SARS-CoV-2. So that is very promising, I think. And I think, you know, this, we're definitely coming to the end of it, where this epidemic, certainly the health epidemic, where people are increasingly vaccinated, there's multiple new vaccines coming to clinic. Some of them are, you know, inactivated whole virus vaccines, very different to the kind of mRNA ones. A lot of them probably will work better across different variants, might have longer lasting effects. And then you're getting multiple competitive antibodies that reduce the severity of symptoms. And I think that's something to be optimistic and positive about for all of us, even though, of course, we're still in political lockdown in Sydney. Another company reported pretty well. So Cettire, we got into the IPO at 50 cents, added pretty aggressively, pretty early on this one, actually. It's now over $2.50. So they just reported, and it's been listed for 8 or 9 months now. They reported revenue growth of 333%. It's pretty strong. That's gross revenue, kind of GMV. And active customers almost tripled. And they're EBITDA positive as well, with 47 mil cash on the balance sheet. So this is a pretty strong result. This is exactly what we look for, that kind of explosive growth. That's like kind of 2 or 3 years for most companies in one, most fast-growing companies in one. And if you compare, like, a lot of investors will think of something growing at 20 or 30% as a fast growth company. This is growing at 10 times that rate. And this is how we think we've been able to consistently generate multiples of what the market has done, because the things that we're investing in are growing multiples faster. And obviously, because we just invested in these, we've developed, you know, expertise, experience, specialty knowledge, and obviously it's just our focus in exactly these kinds of companies that just so happen to be also be the highest returning companies in the market. And this is kind of exactly what we look for. So there's a lot of some people that are quite skeptical about Cettire, like their returns policy. I have no doubt their returns policy is awful. You know, they don't hold inventory. They're getting random wholesalers to send you goods. But the reality is if it's right, if the product is right, people are buying it, and it arrives, like, for most people, that's like the core of the business. And we will always follow the money. So we'll always follow we're always massively overweight which companies are winning wallet share and generating revenue dollars, over our opinions on a particular company's quality. Like, to us, a high quality company is one that's adding users and growing super fast, because we can see the evidence that it's working. That is how we measure quality. But then the traditional investment approach would write an essay on whether you think it's a quality business. Notice whether you think it's a quality business. I think it's the thing that we do different most to what I've seen in other parts of the asset management industry. You can see in these charts, it basically looks like exactly what you want to see. Reminds you of those Tesla charts, the Apple charts, Afterpay, Shopify, Carvana, C, Mercado Libre, all the other things have done 5, 10, 20, 30 times returns. And I guess Cettire is already up 5 times in less than a year. So Cabify, this is another one. This is one of the smallest. I think it is the smallest company we own. It's about a 40 million market cap. We got an IPO, added a little bit when it sold off, and it's on a bit of a tear now. So their transaction volume is growing at 170% year on year. So you can see how, on average, we've actually constructed a portfolio of 150% growth. A lot of these examples are way above that. And the interesting thing is their take rate for Camplifiers, this is peer-to-peer digital marketplace to rent camper vans, is 24%, which is well above, you know, an Airbnb at 14%. They're also expanding internationally. And this is a strong result given that the Eastern Seaboard has been locked down and unable to use their products. And that's probably it for the update. So we talked about Cettire, Camplify. I believe that Chinese stocks have probably bottomed now. You can quote me on that. You can tweet me if I'm wrong. But that to me looks very much like a bottom. It's got all the signs from the reaction to news flow. That's pretty relevant for us. So our portfolio has kind of generated 15% return over a period where all our stocks are down 30%, you know, from their highs, which means that at some point, given the performance, and I just shared some results with you then, at some point, given the fundamental performance, when those stocks do move to new highs, we expect to make material returns. And that's really exciting. So I might wrap up there. Let's check, are there any questions? Last time we had like 10, this time nobody emailed anything in. We always get asked about interest rates. I saw that Tom Richardson, an AFR journalist, tweeted about Germany having 3.9% interest rate. I thought that was fascinating because I was in Europe like when did I go there? It would have been almost 15 years ago. And this was aftermath of GFC. This is probably 13, 14 years ago, 12 years ago, aftermath of GFC, and inflation was like flat or negative. And it was a decade of deflation. I always wondered, when is that inflation going to come? And it turns out it's coming now. And so it's an interesting milestone for anybody with an interest in economic history and kind of what's been happening over the last few years. Any thoughts on Digital Turbine? Very fast growing platform in US mobile US mobile. Yeah, look, we like it. Digital Turbine, we actually bought it around $7 or $8, sold at 25s, took the 4X, then went up 4 times on top of that, which is a reminder never to sell anything that's good. But then it's halved. So I think right now it's really interesting. They made 2 acquisitions, which seems sensible. Basically, they pre-install software on smartphones, you know, your Samsung, obviously Androids. It's actually a pretty fantastic advertising platform. And they've got pretty exceptional reach, and their organic growth is over 100%. So I think it's pretty interesting, and it's mid-single-digit EV sales. So I always tell people, like, this is, we want stuff growing at over 100% at 5-6 times sales. You know, the rest of the growth space is paying 40-50 times sales for something growing at 40%. You know, no. You want something like almost an order of magnitude lower valuation and it growing at least twice as fast as a typical software company, typical cloud software company listed in the US. That's how you outperform and that's how you kind of make real money. So for us, Digital Turbine now, even though we haven't traded it perfectly, you know, we've left a lot of money on the table, it's actually starting to look pretty good. What are your thoughts on the Afterpay and Square deal? Look, Square did a big dilution. They diluted like 35, what was it about? I can't remember, maybe it was 25%. I don't have the number to hand. Diluted significantly to add, you know, very little revenue. So it's very dilutive on a revenue basis, but it still kind of makes a lot of sense. I mean, I think you definitely want to be on the selling side rather than the buying side of that. But Square to me looks like the company most likely to win in that fintech space and build a fully integrated payment loop where they can have customers and merchants on the same platform. But other than that, I'd say that the buy now, pay later sector is maturing. There's consolidation happening. You're seeing things with Afterpay, with it was interesting to see what happens with Zip. What you don't want to do is be stuck in a stock, a buy now, pay later stock that misses out on all this consolidation and then just has these monster competitors. And that's a bit of that's probably a risk for some of the smaller players. I might wrap up there. There was a bit of a storm lately and the roof got damaged. So if you can hear a beep, that is due to people, you know, they're actually kind of 4 stories up. It looks pretty sketchy. apologies for the noise. Oh, any thoughts on AXE? I don't know what that is, so I can't help. I'll look it up after this and see if anything springs to mind. Okay, thanks so much. I hope you found that interesting. And if you want to know more about us, you can go to our website, www.frazerscapitalpartners.com, or you can contact me directly at michael@frazerscapitalpartners.com. And hope you have a fantastic day. Thank you.